Have you ever wondered whether changing terms in an agreement meant that you needed to issue out a brand new agreement, or whether you could just sum it up in a letter, like a letter of variation? Trust me, if you're thinking about this, then you're not alone. If you're struggling with this yourself, or you want to know how to do right by your employees, then this episode is for you. Remember, this episode is to help you maintain your good faith obligations whilst also making sure that you are provided with practical information that will help you navigate the workplace. Hi everyone, welcome back to Lawlens. My name is Sunam and thank you so much for tuning in today. Look, this one is an interesting one because I have seen this crop up time and time again over the last couple of weeks, and I've actually heard it in other podcasts as well. I've heard this question come up around, my employer hasn't actually issued me out a new contract, I've been waiting for it, I've received a letter, but what's going on? Or my employer hasn't given me anything, but they've promised all of these changes. Now, that one's a little bit more alarming, but this episode is to help you navigate all of that and to understand what you need to do by your employees to make sure that you're also following the law and acting in good faith. Now, I did do an episode last week on good faith, so I will link that so that you can have a listen. But what I found really interesting about this is that we usually focus on one part of the topic, which is that you cannot just unilaterally change and vary an employment agreement. But a lot of times what the actual question is from employers and employees is a letter enough, or do I need to be issued out with a new employment agreement? And it's actually an answer that will vary from scenario to scenario. You won't get the same answer in each situation. And that's what a lot of employment law is actually like. We have the fundamentals and we know what we need to follow, but each situation and each scenario is different. And you can work within the square parameters of the law, but in different ways. So let's get into all of the details. But before we do, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone that has been following the podcast and that has been reaching out and connecting with me on LinkedIn. I have absolutely loved hearing from everybody and seeing all of your comments and all of your messages. So I really appreciate it, everyone. And I'm so excited to say that I am growing Lawlens. I definitely am. I am on this path, on this journey, and I'd love you to come with me as well. So I've left a link down below in the description for you to express your interest, because I am thinking about growing out a community and having a newsletter. So definitely please check out the link. And if this is the first time you're visiting, my name is Sunam. Thank you so much for stopping by. Have a read on my LinkedIn or have a read on that link that I've just mentioned. That will give you some details about me. And hopefully you like me enough to stay around. All right, so we'll get into it. Now, when we're looking at varying an employment agreement, like I said, the general rule of thumb, we know what it's going to be, which is that you cannot change an employment agreement unilaterally, which means that one party cannot come to the employment agreement and say, hey, I don't want this in there. I'd want my hours to actually reflect 30 hours per week instead of 40. Likewise, mostly it's the employer that this is normally targeted to. We don't want the employer to turn around and say, business is in a downturn, things are not doing so well, so guess what? We're slashing your hours down to 30. So that's usually the rule of thumb. The idea is that you should not be going ahead and one party should not be trying to change the employment agreement terms. Now, what I wanted to talk about was a little bit of that, but then also shift focus to this question of, when do I give a variation letter? When do I give a new employment agreement? So we know the basic rule is that, and we know that there are essential terms in the contract. There is really a lot of information in there that is very core to the employee's employment relationship and their employment, which is their remuneration, maybe restraint clauses. You've also got things like if they're on a trial period, as well as their hours of work. All of those factors are very critical to their employment. And it's really critical for an employer to make sure that they're not going in and just saying, hey, we're going to change this. They do need to consult with the employee as part of their good faith obligations. Remember, if you listen to last week's episode, then it's all about making sure that you are a communicative employer, that you are helping the employee understand. One of the key and fundamental parts of good faith was making sure that if you were making any decisions that would alter the employment relationship or even make the employee lose their job, then you need to make sure that you're very clear about those proposed changes. So it is really important for the employer to act in this way. And a lot of this actually came out during COVID. When COVID happened, a lot of employers were just stuck and they didn't know what to do. So a lot of them turned around and said, look, I think what we've just got to do is cut everyone's hours. We're really in the dark. We don't know what's going on. And when they did that, they unfortunately did the wrong thing because they didn't do it with consultation. They just directed the employees that, look, your hours are virtually now going to be nothing. So it is serious when an employer does it on their end without consulting with the employee. And when I say consultation, that means that usually you'll meet with the employee, set out your case, listen to their feedback, see what they have to say. If they've raised any concerns, you should respond to that. And then once they are in agreement, then you can vary the contract. And that's where the variation comes in. So the variation itself is a key and critical part. So this is for all of the people out there that are not going around and trying to do a unilateral change. They have actually spoken to the employee, and I wanted to tailor this episode to maybe the people out there that have turned around and said to their employees, hey, we're giving you a bit of a salary bump, or we're giving you a wage increase, and we wanted to let you know we're really excited, and we wanted to tie this up in a letter. And the employee might turn around and say, oh, this is great, but should I be issued out a new agreement? And a lot of employers don't know if they should be or shouldn't be. So depending on the circumstance, in many cases, a letter of variation will actually be an easier option for the employer and the employee. Unless you need to update many other clauses. So let's say your rest and meal break clause is from 1992. Let's say you've realized that your public holiday clause isn't that great and it actually has something in there which is in contravention of the legislation because it's so old. Then absolutely, you should revamp your entire employment agreements and reissue these out to employees because it is really critical to make sure that your employment agreements are up to date. But let's say you have a scenario where your employment agreements are perfectly fine, they look great, they're very swanky, then what do? You just need to do a letter of variation if it is a simple change. And a simple change would be something, like I said, a salary increase. Maybe the title of their role has slightly changed because they wanted a new title, but they didn't want the job description changed. They didn't want any extra responsibilities or anything. Then in agreement with the employee, you would get a letter of variation signed. Now, what I would say in this case is that a letter of variation still needs agreement by both parties. Keep that in mind. You can't unilaterally vary. So even if it's a positive variation, still can't be done by one party. So it's really important to make sure that you get the employees sign off and that they understand that this is the variation that's happening. So for example, if it was a salary increase, then it's a much nicer situation, right? So you would approach the employee and say, hey, look, we wanted to bump up your wage or bump up your salary. This is what it's going to be. And you would say to the employee, I will put that in a letter of variation and send that to you. If you could sign it and please give it back, then I will put it on your personnel file. And usually what that letter will detail and go through will be that on this date, there was a conversation that was had, an agreement was made. This is in line with that conversation. These are the clauses in your agreement that are changing. And that if there is any concerns or questions, to come to the person that's issuing out the letter, and then also has a place for the employee to sign. And it will have specific information around whether this is indefinite or whether this is a temporary thing. Now, you may be wondering, Sanam, why would something be temporary? Because in some circumstances, and this is where these questions can get a bit trickier, is that an employee might move into a particular role. So let's say normally they work as the office administrator, and maybe the manager, the office manager, has actually stepped away for a month on holiday, and you still need that office manager, and the office admin has actually been there from day dot, and they know everything inside and out, and they can actually step in and do the role. Well, if that's the case, then you can actually vary the terms of the agreement to allow for the employee for a set period of time to do that specific role. So in that variation, it would detail that maybe all the parts of the contract stay the same, except this is your job description. This is the time frame that the variation will take place between this date and this date. And this will be your role and your pay. And when you've bundled that all together in a letter, what you've done is essentially you've put the letter there, the job description, and you're not having to worry now about reissuing out a new contract because all the other terms of the contract still stay the same. all of the obligations in there, all of the right to work in there, all of that information about terminations, everything will stay the same. If you are changing a lot of different things, then yes, that is where you need to issue out a new contract. But I wouldn't do that in a circumstance like this, where maybe they're moving into a different role for a little period of time. So those variations come up quite often. When I worked in the hospitality sector, I saw it very commonly done. Some people would come in and maybe do different types of work. So maybe in the morning, they'd be the barista, and maybe in the evening, they'd be helping out with front-end service. There's a lot of different things that people do in these smaller businesses. It's not just you're in your role and that's all you do. Sometimes it is wearing many different hats, and a lot of employers want to reward employees for doing that. So that's where it's really critical to make sure that you've chosen the right path. So the best way that I can say to differentiate it is that if you can start seeing that more and more clauses are being changed, and it is something where it's maybe coming from the employee, maybe the employee wants to move to lesser hours and you've approved that, you don't necessarily need to give them a brand new fresh agreement. It could be a simple letter of variation, which just details that. The other side where it gets more complicated and you need an employment agreement, like I said, that's where you've got lots and lots of changes happening to the employment agreement. Maybe the employment agreement needs a refresh. That's where I would issue out a brand new employment document. Now, in terms of changing the agreements, remember, like I said, cannot be unilateral. So it's really important, really focus on the fact that you are getting agreement from the employee. If it is a change that's going to disadvantage them or bring them further down, like a demotion or anything like that, tread with caution. These are not the avenues to have those conversations and to do that without doing a proper airtight process. So absolutely would not be suggesting any of that kind of stuff in this scenario. This, I would say, is a much better situation for positive changes in the workplace or things that come from the employee. Maybe the employee wants to do lesser hours. Maybe the employee wants to step into a more easier role. And that's when they would maybe get a fresh employment agreement, new title and everything like that. But it should be coming from the employee in those cases where they are moving maybe down hours or down a role. So anything that looks like a disadvantage or a demotion should ideally come from the employee. Now, one of the questions that always comes up is, how do I make sure that the employee really understands what they've read and they understand what the changes are, and that they don't come back and they say to me, you've pushed me to do this or you've done this? It's as simple as speaking to the employee, issuing out a letter of variation, and asking them to take it away. You can even write it in there very clearly, giving them maybe 48 hours or 2 business days to go out and have a look and read the letter and then come back if it's a positive change. The tips that I have are, 1, you need to make sure that what you're doing is right by your employees. And if you feel a bit uncomfortable, step out of the situation and think about it. Or feel free to reach out to me and I can at least point you in the right direction. But usually if you're in a situation where you're thinking, I don't know if I should issue out a brand new contract, I don't know if it should be a letter of variation, then definitely look at how much you're changing. That would be my first tip. Look at how much you are actually changing in the contract. If it's not much and if it's a positive change, then a letter of variation is the way to go. If you are looking at, hey, what is the best way that I can go about this to see if the employee will take a lesser than role or a demotion or maybe less pay? Definitely not the process for you. If you are changing anything in the workplace that's an essential term or anything like that, then your restructure process will be the way to go. And this is not it. This is not the process. The next tip will be to make sure that you have everything ironclad, iron-tight in that variation letter. Make sure that you've got everything laid out from the time frame that the variation will occur. And if it's indefinite, say it's indefinite, all the way through to what will be changing in the employment agreement, the clauses, and what it will be changing to, all the way down to the fact that both parties need to make sure that they have signed the variation for it to be binding and formalized. Now, once you've done all of that, then that's basically it. That's the main tips that I have. And I know this seems like a very easy area, but like I said, I have been seeing this crop up more and more and more. I've seen a lot of employers make promises to employees, but not solidify that and not put that in writing, which means a lot of employees are sitting there thinking that they need a brand new contract. And employers are thinking, oh, this is on the back burner. I have to issue out a new contract. I don't want to do all of this stuff. But a simple variation can make life much easier, especially if it's a positive change for an employee. Well, that is it from me, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am so glad that I was able to get this message out, and I'm so glad that everyone has been tuning in and they have been welcoming this podcast with open arms. So I really appreciate that. I hope you have an amazing morning, night, evening, afternoon, whatever it may be, because guess what? I'll catch you in the next one, everyone.